This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hope you're all well. Hope you had a good week since we last met. Are the guys in the Zoom session or the team session, are you able to see me, hear me? Am I coming through loud and clear? Uncle Saim not there to give us a voice check or put him away, maybe?
All good, Sheikh, all good.
Shaheen, mashallah, nice to hear you there. The slides are visible as well. Alhamdulillah. So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, we're on lesson number 6 of our series, Islam from Scratch, where we're looking at really understanding the basic and the basic principles or the fundamentals of Islam in a very easy, digestible manner. And I think last week I was so happy that our class went the way that I hoped in terms of a dialogue. This is a conversation, really. This is not a bayan, a lecture. That happens tomorrow at Jumu'ah, inshallah, where no one can talk back to me. I can say whatever I want. But this is where it's I really encourage that conversation, that two-way conversation. And I encourage, you know, if we even get detoured, sidetracked by a very important question, I think we should do that. And so therefore, I really thank the brothers and sisters last week that contributed. And looking forward to, once again, engagement. Of course, for those who are joining late or you're following, you're not in the Teams chat or the Teams session, you would obviously be on YouTube. And whatever comments you put down there, we will try and answer them, inshallah. And or you can obviously comment on the WhatsApp line. So before we begin, open the floor again. Any questions? Anyone want to ask or contribute something before we start? Anyone on the Teams chat? But quiet today. I think that's what load shedding would do to you. For those of you not from South Africa, load shedding is where you're without electricity. So some, you know, we're going through a bit of that year in South Africa, and make dua for us. So anyway, alhamdulillah. Without further ado, then let's begin with lesson number 6. Just a quick summary. Lesson number 1 was an introduction to Islam. What does Islam mean? We gave a linguistic meaning, and we said Islam is the submission, the surrender to a higher power. Lesson number 2, we said, well, who says there's a higher power? And so we had an almost arguing, or just debating, discussing, proving the existence of this higher power, which we call the Creator or God Almighty. Then we spoke about a conversation with atheism. Atheism, of course, is really the up-and-coming religion of the world. Never before in the history of mankind have we experienced such an influx of rejection. Atheism is a rejection of God. And so we need to really level with our atheist friends and neighbors and answer and have a very open discussion about that. We then said, well, okay, from an Islamic perspective, you believe that there's a higher power. Who is this higher power? What does he want you to know about him? We call him Allah. We explain Allah means the one and only deity, the one and only who deserves to be worshipped, the one and only that can benefit you and harm you and cure you and feed you, that can protect you. All your hopes, fears are on him. That is who Allah is. And then we spoke a lot about what he wants you to know about him in terms of his mercy, in terms of his kindness and his forgiveness, and the relationship he wants to have with his creation. We spoke about last week, we summarized the ultimate theme of Islam. You know, claiming that there is one, or believing that there is one creator, is not unique. The Christians believe that, the Jews believe that, the Hindus believe that. I mean, we had a wonderful discussion about Hinduism last week where, I mean, the Hindus believe there's one creator. They don't believe in multiple creators, but yes, there are multiple deities. And we said Islam is very, very strict in its concept of monotheism, in that there is only one creator, there is only one sustainer, there is only one in control of the universe, and he has no partners in his lordship. And so therefore, la ilaha illallah, therefore he alone is worthy of worship. Any worship to anyone, to any idol, to any prophet, to a Jesus, to a saint, all of that is of no benefit, if because he is the only one worthy of worship. Looks like something went wrong. Just a quick question. Looks like our Wi-Fi is down a bit. Assalamu alaikum. I apologize. I think we went down there for a second. Are you guys still with me?
Yes, why?
Okay. So where I stopped off was saying that Islam's, the crux of Islam's, what makes Islam Islam, is that it is the concept of La ilaha illallah, that only the Creator is worthy of worship. And if you were to worship, I mean, others besides him, it doesn't harm him. It's not that there's anything that you disadvantage him, but it's sort of, you are saying that if I need something and I ask, you know, this ancestor or that statue, then it almost implies that there is a partner in the lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what Islam wants to eradicate, that there is only one worthy of worship, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the overall theme. And if we summarize it, the purpose of life, the purpose of why you and I are here, is to worship Allah. And what that means is that Allah wants you to have a relationship with Him in this world, so that in the next life you can actually be in His company, or to be close to Him in the life after death. And to live a life, no matter what you achieve, no matter how many Nobel Prizes you win, if you don't have a relationship with your Creator, then really you failed at life. That is what Islam comes down to at its core. And so there are two parties to a relationship. There is Allah, the Creator, and we're speaking, and we're going to continuously speak about Him and getting to know Him better. But there is also us. We are the other side of that relationship. And you need to know what man, the role of man in this relationship. And that's why today's discussion is the first man. The lecture of today is about Adam, the first man, the creation of man, and how that fits into a life and the big question, the big picture. As I said, I will continuously have little bits of slides as to who is Allah, just to build up our understanding of our Creator. So Allah, there's a beautiful hadith, a narration of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where he says, verily Allah is beautiful, and He loves beauty. He loves beautiful things. And the most beautiful thing that He loves is beautiful character. That is the thing which is most beautiful. And the thing which He dislikes the most is baselessness, lewdness. A person with bad character is really ugly in the sight of our Creator. A wonderful hadith. Also, and this leads into our next discussion, there's this verse in the Quran. Allah is not in need of anything and wants anything. He doesn't require us to worship Him. Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ, that whenever He decrees something, إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَيْ يَكُولَ لَوْ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends for something to happen, how does He create? How does He destroy? How does He give sustenance? He simply says, be, and it comes into being. He wills it into being, right? So that's how Allah creates. That's how He decrees things. He simply says, be, and that thing comes into existence. So let's talk about the first man. And in fact, let's talk about the history of everything. You know, what do we know? How far back does time go? If we wind the clock back all the way to the beginning of time, to the beginning of the universe. So it's important for us to know that scientists believe, it's assumed, that the universe is 14 billion years old. B with a, you know, with a B. 14 billion years old. That's how old the universe is. Earth, our planet, is only about 4.5 billion years old. Okay, and of course, these numbers each year, new discoveries and these numbers tend to change. So we've been, this planet has been around for a very long time, and the universe has been there for an imaginably long time. Life on Earth. Now, scientists have no clue why or how we are the only place in the whole big universe that we know of that has living creatures. There's a lot of stars and planets and things out there, but we don't find life. You know, when I say life, even, you know, a bacteria, a plant, that's life. We don't find it anywhere besides this little tiny planet in the middle of nowhere in the universe. And you know, life is a very unique thing. I remember the previous Imam of this mosque, Imam Salih, rahimullah, Allah grant him Jannah, the first lecture I heard of him, he was a scientist. He brought to the mosque you know, a bunch of little substances. In the one hand, he said, I have a seed. If I were to plant the seed, it will become a plant. You know, if I had to plant it, gave it water, it will germinate into a living thing. But I know exactly what the seed is made up of, potassium and sodium, all the components. I can actually mix it together in the most high-tech lab, but it will not become a seed and it will not become something alive. We cannot replicate life. Life is something that we don't know where it comes from. There's no clue to where, how it came there. But 3.5 billion years ago, somehow an organism came alive out of stones and rocks. It came alive. Obviously, we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created that. And Allah says, Allah speaks about how He created life. He says, أَوَلَمْ يَرَى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Do those who disbelieve in Allah, do they not see that verily the heavens, do they not realize that the heavens and the earth were one joined thing? They were together as one. And then we split them apart. We tore them apart. We split the heavens and the earth. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَيٍّ أَفَلَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Allah says, and I created from, after that, after I created the heavens and the earth, I decreed that every living creature would come from water. Now, this is very interesting. That, you know, the number one question that NASA, the space station, what they're trying to achieve, you know, their main focus is asking this question: are we alone out there? Are there any aliens? Is there any ET out there? And so they're searching for life. They're searching for plants or bacteria. Now, how do you search for life in this huge universe like a needle in a haystack? They say we look for the Goldilocks zone. Goldilocks zone is not too hot, not too cold. It's just right. The temperature of a planet or a, you know, moon needs to be just right to have liquid water. Because what the scientists have now agreed on is for there to be life, there must be liquid water. And Allah says this in the Quran, that I created every living creature from liquid water. Okay? And then Allah says, and He continues, وَمِنْ آيَاتِ and of His signs that He created the heavens and the earth, وَمَا بَثَّ فِيهِمَا مِنْ دَابَةٍ and He has scattered throughout the heavens and the earth living creatures. So we know unequivocally, 100%, as Muslims, you must believe in aliens. Because Allah says in the Quran that He has living creatures throughout the universe. The point I want to get at this is, in the grand spectrum of existence, we're not very special. The universe was there long before us. And there were many creatures that Allah created. Many creatures He continues to create. And we just one out of the countless creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did something very unique. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of billions and billions of stars and galaxies, billions and billions of planets, filled with life forms, filled with all kinds of creatures, plants and bacteria. He's the Lord of all these things. He then said, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ, and when the Lord of all things said, لِلْمَلَائِكَ, to His angels. Now, pause here. Muslims believe in a type of creation called angels. And many religions believe in, there's a shared belief in the concept of angels. And angels, from an Islamic perspective, are these creatures who are made of light. And they are perfect in their form. And they are perfect in their obedience to the Creator. They cannot commit sin. They have no free will. They simply do as they're commanded. They don't get hungry, they don't get tired, they don't procreate. They are almost robotic, right? And they praise their Creator night and day. That's all they do. And so Allah says to the angels, He speaks to them, and He says, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ, your Lord said to لِلْمَلَائِكَ, to the angels, إِنِّي جَعِنُ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً, I intend to place on the earth my representative. Allah says, I'm going to put a new creature on earth. A creature who will have the ability to reason, to think, the ability to have free will, to obey me or disobey me. I'm going to do that. Allah says this to the angels. And the angel says, Qalu, the angel says, Ataj'alu fiha, you know, respectfully, my Lord. You know, when you say respectfully, usually it's not, whenever you say respectfully, what follows is very seldom out of respect. So the angel says, Ataj'alu fiha, O Allah, are you going to place, they ask a rhetorical question, are you going to place on earth, may yufsidu fiha, a creation that will corrupt it, that will destroy it, that will pollute it, that will do all the evils to it. Wa yasfiku dima, and not only that, they will shed each other's blood, they will kill one another, they will go to war with one another, they'll bomb each other. Wa nahnu, and us, we angels, nahnu nusabbihu wa nuqaddisu lak, but we worship you and we praise you and make tasbih constantly. Almost, I don't understand the wisdom. Now, side note, very beautiful lesson to be learned here. Many Muslims, you learn about Islam, you learn about the rules of Islam, and some things just don't make sense. I don't understand why four wives. I don't understand why five daily salahs. Why is Maghrib three rak'ahs? Why can't I drink water during Ramadan? I'm fasting, but not even water. Many things you might not understand. It's not impermissible to ask, what is the wisdom behind it? So long as we still submit, whether I understand or don't understand. The angels are saying, Ya Allah, if that's what you're going to do, we submit, we're going to obey you. But honestly, we don't understand your reasoning. We don't understand your wisdom, Ya Allah. This doesn't make sense to us. And Allah's response, what did Allah respond to them? Allah said, Inni a'lamu ma la ta'lamun. I know what you don't know. I understand things far better than you understand. What I do is of a much higher degree of knowledge and wisdom. Almost saying, angels, trust me. Have faith in me. I know what I'm doing. And the angels, of course, submit. So now Allah has informed the angels, okay, there's been, the earth. Also from this ayah, we know that the earth has been there before. Because Allah says, on the earth, I'm going to put a new creation. So the angels are aware that there's this place called the earth. There are creatures living there. And now a new kid on the block is about to come. If we look at the back to the history of the universe, or the history of earth, we said earth is 4.5 billion years old. 3.5 billion years has been life. Most of it, it's been single cell, little bacteria, and then it evolved into more. And I deliberately use the word evolved. It evolved because evolution is something which is almost fact. I mean, we call it the theory of evolution, but we believe in evolution scientifically. And so creatures evolved to more complex beings, and we had animals, plants and animals and all those things for the last 3.5 billion years. Humans, Homo sapiens as we are called, only really appeared 200,000 years ago. So I mean 4.5 billion years, 200,000 years. If we were a clock, we are, you know, if the earth was on a 12-hour clock, humans would have appeared in the last second or millisecond on that 12 hours. That is when people actually appeared on the earth, okay? Humans. And in fact, there were other human-like creatures as well, which opens a lot of discussion in terms of evolution and creation. So Allah, then our belief, our theology, our belief system is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intervened on the earth. He did something against the natural order of this planet. He then created something new, a new creature. And this creature, as we know, it will be called Adam. And the word Adam, what does it mean? Adam it's an Arabic, there's an Arabic word, but perhaps this even predates Arabic. This word Adam might even come before Arabic because it's the original. It's a name Allah gave to this creature. And Adam really means something which is made from earth and it has the color of the earth. It's a light brown color. So if you were almost to take all the people, white people, black people, Chinese people, and you put them all in a pot, the color that would come out is this beige, light beige color. That is what Adam is. Allah calls this creature Adam. And he was created, as we know, on a Friday, because time exists. Even before we existed, time existed. And we know from our tradition, the hadith is on the Quran, that Adam was created on a Friday, a few moments before sunset, meaning right at the end of Friday. So from our theology, the creation of mankind is very late in the game. We are a very late addition to the long story of Allah's creation and Allah's hierarchy of creatures. We are just one of countless many, and we come very late, but we are also very special. And today there's a lot of a story, so let's talk a little bit about Adam's creation. I'll just pause for a second. Are there any questions? Anyone online want to ask a little question before we go into the creation of Adam and the story of Adam, alayhi salam? I hear someone's mic. Okay. We can
yes,
just... Oh yes, Uncle Simon, go ahead.
It's just a comment. The color, the shade of Nabi Adam, pointed out, it's from the earth. And,
yes.
You know, it just shows you the majesty of the Creator, subhanAllah. You can go... You know, when you traverse the earth, or just in the country for that matter, you find the of color of the,
yes,
you know, red, clay, brown, black.
Mm.
You know, it's amazing just to see the signs of the find ourselves in, you know, and there's nothing to, if you take it from that.
It's humbling to think that with all our majesty, with all our power, with all our nuclear weapons, with all the power that we have really controlled this, we dominated this planet. But Allah wants us to always remember that we come from the soil, we come from that sand. And the ingredients to us, and this just shows you why He is Allah. He took, and we're going to talk about the ingredients, He took some sand and water, mixed it together, and then He brought life into it and brought about a creature that has this amazing ability to, you know, travel the universe, to cure diseases, and this horrible ability to kill and to cause all kinds of mischief. And this is sort of our nature. And so on that, we have a beautiful tradition where hadith, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the angels, I'm going to create Adam. And not that he needs ingredients. Remember, we said the ayah, he just says be, and something would be created. But then he said to the angels, this is something unique now. He said, Allah says to the angels, I want to create Adam, but I want ingredients to make him. This is something new. You don't need ingredients, Allah. And Allah says to the angels, I want you to fetch me clay or soil or earth, pieces of the earth. Bring it to me, and from that I'm going to create this Adam. And so in a long hadith, we know the first angel, Gabriel, in Islam we believe in the archangel Gabriel, is the Jibril, he's the chief amongst the angels, he's the leader amongst them. He went first to the earth to fulfill this command. And when he reached the earth says to Jibril, I seek protection with Allah. Allah, protect me that you will take anything from me, that you would subtract from me. And when the earth said that, Jibril said, you invoked the protection of Allah, so I will protect you. I will respond to that. And so Jibreel leaves. Mikael, the next angel, Michael, same thing happens. He goes and he says, I will fulfill this task. When he reaches the earth says, I ask Allah to protect me, that you will take anything from me away. And so when the earth said that, the angel Mikael said, you've used the name of Allah, and so I will respect that. And then the angel Mikael leaves. Then the angel of death, we call him the angel of death. At that point, he wasn't called the angel of death, Israel. He goes down, and the earth says the same thing. I seek protection from Allah, that you should take anything from me. And Israel, the angel of death, says to the earth, and I also seek the protection of Allah, that I should return to Allah without anything. I would fail him in this task. And so Israel goes to different parts of the earth, and he collects different types of clay, white, black, dark. He mixes it together, and he brings this clay back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with water, it is mixed together. And this is the ingredients of Adam. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, says that in that, you can see our nature. You have people that are very, not just our colors, right? So we get white people, darker people. It goes back to the clay from which Adam was made from. But more deeper than that, you have certain personalities. You have people who are as stubborn as a stone. You know, that was some granite that that Israel took. And then you have some people that are very soft and easy. They're like Clifton beach sand, you know, very soft, very like powder almost. And so the Prophet says that the Almighty created Adam from a handful that he took from the whole earth. So from all over the earth, he took bits of it. So the children of Adam will replicate what is that handful of earth. Some of them are red, some of them are white, some of them are black, some of them are yellow. Some are a mixture between that. You are between different colors. Some are smooth, easygoing. Some are rough, very coarse. Some have bad qualities in them, and some have good qualities in them. And this goes back to we are true to the ingredients that we were made from. And Allah says in the Quran of His signs is that He created خلق السماوات والأرض. That if you look up, He made the heavens and the earth, and then if you look down, وَاخْتِلَافُ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ. Allah says, and of the signs that there is a creator is that you see a diverse spectrum of races and people and languages. No one is better than the other one. Allah doesn't say one language, Arabic, is better than any other language, or English is better than, you know, Hebrew, or whatever it is. Allah says the fact that you have so many languages and you have so many colors and so many cultures is testament that the one who made all of you loves diversity, and He Himself is, you know, He is beautiful, and He is that He is wise and all-knowing, and He is all-powerful. Inna fi dhalika, this is a sign for a people who reflect. Allah says that so Allah then took this lump of clay that Israel brought, and again something very unique. Allah shaped, sculpted in a way which befits His Majesty. We don't give Allah any kind of analogies, but He sculpted this clay into a statue, into an empty hollow shell. And Allah says, لَقَدَ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمِ. And I chose the best of forms. I created Adam in the best of all forms. I mean, there are many creatures that are stronger than us, bigger than us. In the animals, there are animals that are can fly, animals that can live and swim under the ocean. Of all the different forms and of all the templates, Allah chose the best template to make Adam. And subhanAllah, it tells you, I mean, no matter, we're all insecure about the way we look, but if the creator of the universe says, I chose you to have the absolute best form, you are the best model that I have, then subhanAllah, you shouldn't feel so bad if you don't get the likes that you want on Facebook or Instagram. The Lord of the heavens and the earth says that you were created in the best of forms. And in this, we find a very profound honor which we as people have, and specifically Adam, but all of us. We know from the prophetic narration that when Allah creates, when He created Jibreel, the archangel, He just said, be, and Jibreel came into being. When He wanted to create the heavens and the earth, He just simply said, be, and all the stars and the planets and the moon, all of it, you know, came into existence, except for four things. There were four things which Allah created by His own hand, meaning He not took the time, not that He needed it, but as an honor to that creation, He handmade it. And I almost give you the example. You get factory-made stuff, you know, you get factory-made tables, you know, mass-produced, and then you get this table which a carpenter handcrafts. He takes his time, and it's custom-made. That's obviously a lot more, you know, a much better quality, what in our terms. And so Allah tells us that there are four things which He created with His own hand, which was not created through the normal conventional being. What are those four things? The first thing is the arsh, the throne of Allah. So the greatest of His creation is Allah has a throne. Not that He sits on it, but there is a throne that is above the universe. And that is, He created that with His own hands. And He created the pen of destiny. When we talk about destiny, it's a very deep discussion. There is a pen that scripted everything, every possible permutation. This pen, this program, this computer, whatever it is, this instrument, Allah created it with His own hands through His direct intervention. Then, Jannatul Adn, the highest level of paradise. So paradise, heaven, which we all hope to go, and may all of us, be there one day, has levels. You know, like any, think of any, you know, city. It has many suburbs. The highest suburb of paradise, the number, the top, the Clifton, if you will, of Bishop's Court of Jannah is called Adn. That paradise, Allah Himself planted the trees, He decorated, He built the palaces with His own hands. How can you imagine how this place would look if He Himself interior, He chose every last item in that area. And then the fourth thing was the creation of Adam. Allah created Adam with His own hands. And Allah says this in the Quran, which we'll get to, when He asks Iblis, Satan basically, قَالَ يَا إِبْلِيسِ, Allah said to Iblis, مَا مَنَعَكَ, what prevented you and tasjuru, to fall in prostration, لِمَا خَلَقْتُ بِيَدَيْ, to the thing which I made with both my hands. Not just one. Allah has two hands in a manner which befits His majesty, and we don't picture hands and fingers. Allah's hands are not like anyone else's hands, but Allah says, I used two of my hands to make this Adam, to make this creature, and you disrespect it, subhanAllah. So as late as we are in the game, as you know, we'll get to talk about our nature and our weaknesses and what human being a human actually means, having flaws and faults. Like the angel saying, why are you making this creature? Allah shows the honor which He gave Adam by actually making him by His own hand. Then Allah says to the angels, and the first honor was Adam is made by hand. The second thing Allah says to the angels, this is to all the angels, this is to Jibreel, this is to the archangel, to all of the angels. Allah says to them, فَإِذَا سَوَيْتُهُ, when I fashioned him, وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي, and I blew and I blow into him my soul, فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ, then you will fall down and bow to him. In out of honor and respect for him, you will bow before him when I blow life into him. Side note, when Allah says I'm going to blow my soul into him, it doesn't mean the soul of Allah, His essence. We have this incorrect assumption that some form of divinity entered Adam, and with that we are all, you know, little parts of Allah inside of us. Allah's not saying that. When Allah says, my soul, it's the same way as He says, my Kaaba, my Quran, my, you know, my Qibla. the soul belonging to Allah. So Allah says to the angels, when I blow this soul which I've created, and I blow it into Adam, and subhanAllah, again, the symbolism here of Allah Himself transferring life into Adam. Now, our theology is we believe in a soul, contrary to, I'd say, you know, science today, there's no evidence that there's a soul. We all believe that there's a soul. And a soul is brought from Allah to the baby via an angel. So when a baby is born, before they are born, a soul is brought by an angel to that child. Whereas Adam, his soul was directly placed into him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this is a very, once again, a very high honor that Adam gets. He's made by Allah's hands, and Allah is going to put a soul in him directly, and then the angels are going to bow before him. And there's a wonderful narration of how Adam received the soul. So Adam stood for a long time as this empty statue, the shell. And the angels looked at the shell, that one day we're going to have to bow before this creature. What is he? And of course, he was lifeless. He was just hollow. And then the day came, and we don't know when or why. It's a Friday. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that now the soul will be placed into Adam. And when, as the soul enters Adam, he becomes alive in stages. And so from our tradition, I think last week, I don't know if Brother Yashmil is online, we asked the question, is there evidence that we were created sort of pure or in the fitrah, or we call the fitrah of Allah? We don't have obviously any sign that said made by Allah, made in Jannah, Allah signed, you know, the creator. We believe this, you know, we believe this. And so our belief is that this empty hollow statue, which was standing wherever it was standing, Allah then blows the soul into Adam. And as the soul enters him, parts of him come alive. And the first thing that comes alive, of course, his mouth, his nose, his eyes. And the first thing Adam does is he sneezes. And instinctively, there is this natural, the soul already comes pre-programmed. I mean, if you were to think about hardware, software, the hardware was there, now the software is being loaded onto the system. And in Adam, he said instinctively, Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. And that's the first utterance of our creation. And so if I go back to, what is all this about? It's about my relationship with my creator, your relationship with your creator. Adam is showing our relationship with our Lord is one of praise and thanks and worship and love. And when he said, Alhamdulillah, after sneezing, Allah responded to him, Yarhamukallah, may your Lord have mercy on you. And that's the relationship Allah has with us. We praise Him and we thank Him, and He comes to us with mercy and forgiveness and love. Then when Adam was fully alive, Adam looks around. You know, he's alive. And he sees the angels standing at a distance. Now the angels were quite scared. What is this guy? Who is this person? And so Allah says to Adam, go to that group of angels and say to them, Assalamu alaikum. Say to them, peace be upon you. And listen to what they're going to say to you. And so when Adam alayhi salam went to the angels, he said, Assalamu alaikum. And the angels responded, Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. So then the angels responded by saying, and may the peace of Allah be upon you, wa rahmatullah, and may the mercy of Allah be upon you. They added something additional. May Allah's mercy be upon you. And so Allah said, this will be your greeting. O Adam, this is your greeting and for your children. And it's quite interesting, as I said, if you look at the commonality. And I remember I said Islam didn't start with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's just the last in line of a story that began long before Adam even. And this greeting is one of the universal greetings. I mean, even in Hollywood, we come in peace. Peace is this, when you meet a new nation, a new tribe, you say, Salamu alaikum, shalom, for our Jewish friends and brothers. This concept of I come in peace is something which predates, you know, our countries, our nations. It comes from that very first moment of Adam's creation. It's still something which is a remnant within humanity. And so Adam, alayhi salam, he's alive and he is interacting with the angels, and then Allah now wants to show the angels why Adam is very special. Why this creature, which is smaller than the angels, which can't fly, which doesn't have, you know, the strength of many of the other creatures, nothing outwardly, this thing has nothing special. In fact, it's made of dirt, it's made of sand, it's made of soil. The angels are made of light. We're going to get to know another creature called the jinn, Iblis. They're made of fire. And so, you know, the angels can't understand what's so special about this thing. Adam literally means the man made of mud. He's like a mud man. What is so special about this guy? And so Allah says, وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. I then taught, Allah says, He personally taught Adam the names of everything. What does this mean, the names of everything? We don't know for sure, but Allah taught Adam knowledge that He had not given any of His creations. Adam had the ability, and by extension, you and me, he had the ability to learn something which no other creation could comprehend. He could understand certain things which none of the other creatures could understand, even the angels. ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ فَقَالَ أَنْبِئُونِي بِأَسْمَاءِ هَؤُلَاءِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. And then Allah wanted to put the angels and Adam to a test. Allah then said to the angels, I'm going to test you. You tell me, you give me the answer to these questions, you give me the names of these things. And the angels, when they were put to the test, they said, قَالُوا سُبْحَانَكَ لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا. The angels said, we don't know. We don't know anything except that which you taught us. This that you're asking us is beyond our ability to learn, to know. We don't know the answer of the questions of these things. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ عَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. And they said, you, Allah, you alone know everything. You are the most all knowledgeable, the all wise. قَالَ Allah said, يَا آدَمْ أَوْ آدَمْ أَنْبِئْهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ. Allah said to Adam, you give the, tell the angels what the answer is. Give them the answer. فَلَمَّا أَنْبَأَهُمْ. So once Adam gave the answer, and I mean, you imagine the scene here, you know, this high exam, this massive a test where the angels on one side, Adam is alone on the other side. Allah puts the test forward. The angel says, we completely defeated. We don't know what the answer is. Not just the angels, all of the other creatures are there. All of creation is there. And then Allah says to Adam, you tell them what is the answer. And Adam was able for أَنْبَأَهُمْ. Adam could give the answer. قَالَ أَلَمْ. And then Allah said to the angels, أَلَمْ أَكُلْ لَكُمْ. Did I not say to you, O angels, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ غَيْبَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. I know the most hidden things of the heavens and the earth. And I know everything that's apparent. And whatever is concealed. So Allah says, remember how you questioned me about this piece of mud? This thing that's going to create mischief? What good is it in him? Why are you creating him? Did I not tell you that this thing is very special? There is something unique about this creature. And so when they saw that Adam, in spite of the outward appearance, in spite of how low his beginning was, he possessed something very, very profound. He had the ability to learn that which the angels couldn't learn. He had the ability to understand. And I'm going to say he, I mean us. We have the ability to comprehend Allah, to understand Allah, to have a relationship with Allah that no other creature can. Our ability to draw close to Allah. And now the creation can never ever be completely with the Creator. We will always be deficient. But the closest any creature can get to Allah is mankind. And that is, subhanAllah, that is why we have been made. To appreciate Allah in a way that even the angels can't appreciate. To love Allah in a way that even Jibreel can't love Allah. To be close to Allah in a way that even the most pious of the angels cannot get. And we have been given this ability. Well, Adam has been, and Allah showing all of creation, Adam has this ability. Also, very powerful, we know from this. Look at what knowledge does. Knowledge will take you from being nothing more than dirt and water, and it will elevate you above even Jibreel. The one of knowledge will always stand above those who don't have knowledge. The only currency with Allah is knowledge. And so then when Adam proved his not superiority, but proved that his special relationship with Allah, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا, Allah then said, and remember when I said to the angels, إِسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ. Now, out of respect and honor for Adam, bow down in sujood. فَسَجَدُوا. And of course the angels obey without any question. The angels, and look at their humility, and look at their obedience, their Islam, their submission. Jibreel, subhanAllah, Jibreel is bigger than this planet. And he sees this tiny creature in front of him, but because Allah said, bow down to Adam, they fell down in sujood before Adam. فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا Iblis. The only one who didn't sujood was in that company. There was a creature called Iblis. أَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. He refused and he was arrogant and he was of those who disbelieved and rejected his Lord. Who is Iblis? Is he an angel? Is he something else? We'll talk about Iblis in the coming weeks, inshallah. But back to the angels. The angels fall down in prostration to Adam alayhi salam. And this is really the origin story of humanity and why Allah made us and what we are supposed to achieve on the earth. We're going to talk a little bit more maybe next week about sort of the software that Allah programmed us with, the ability to do good and bad. Are we good? Are we inherently good? Are we inherently bad? Which way do we incline? This is something which is quite deeply discussed in Christianity, for example. Not so much in Islam, but it's important for us to talk about it. Sin and our, you know, our soul. What is that like? We'll talk more about that, inshallah, in next week. We've got an interesting, you know, this obviously opens up the creation story of Adam. Brings a whole lot of questions around evolution and Islam. Before we get into that, what does Islam say about evolution? I know Ubaid will be very, very interested in that discussion. For those, let's open the floor to some questions, please. A minute or two. Are there any questions that anyone would like to share? Any comments? Ubaid, is there any question on the... Just checking. If Farah is showing her hands up or a hand clap, I appreciate Farah for the support. I don't. Anyone? No one wants to ask a question. Okay. At least, I mean, if your name is Adam, you've learned a little about yourself, or if you have a son called Adam. My nephew, Alhamdulillah, is not maybe 2-3 months old. We know learned a little bit about him. And again, I want us to. Nadia and Adam. Okay, you've raised your hands. Is that a question you want to ask? Go ahead, you can ask the question, or you're just giving me a high five. Go ahead.
There's something I want to tell you.
Go ahead.
A part of Adam's family left because they had children and they had children and they had children. They still, they must be someone that was like ago, and someone in the family was Adam.
So I think I don't understand the question, but anyway, what I try to gather from that is there anyone left of Adam's family? And yes, of course, all of us, we're going to talk about obviously Adam is our father, and from Adam our mother Hawa or Eve is going to be created. We'll talk about her, and all of us are extensions of that Adam, and I think that's what is wonderful, is to say that this isn't a story only of Adam. Today's story isn't about one man, it's about a whole family of people, it's about our race, it's about where we stand in relation to all other creations. It is that we are, you know, we have been given a very special place amongst all of the creatures. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a lot of, and using this word now, a lot of hope and love and care for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a lot of opportunities with the objective that we can come closer to Him. And therefore we have a hype, you know, if people ask, what is the purpose of life? You know, your life could be curing diseases, great, chasing after money, going on holidays. What greater thing can there be than to pursue the Creator? You can chase after anything, no matter how noble it is. But if your purpose of living is to pursue God Almighty, to get to understand Him and know Him in a way that no creature can, to truly have a relationship with Him, that is the highest possible calling that one could have. And Allah has given us that ability. You know, no one asked the question. I'm surprised, but you know, I'm sure when we talk about the creation of Adam, evolution naturally comes into play. So what is evolution? Evolution is where, as I said, life started off as a single-celled creature, like a bacteria, and then from that it became a two-celled trees, and then eventually it became into a plant, that plant became into a fish became into a land animal, and we then, you know, scientists can see this. It's not a theory, it is actually almost fact. If you really want to understand evolution, look at the COVID virus. You know, there was a virus, it had a certain structure, we then had a vaccine which was able to defeat that virus. But then the virus evolved, it mutated into a new strand. And so we need to have a new booster, a new jab. And so this is constantly life-changing and growing and evolving. And so evolution is something which we see. It is a fact, it's a reality of the natural world. And so when scientists like Darwin, you know, discovered evolution, you know, even though Darwin, you know, being, you know, just side note, calling him the father of you know, atheists love to quote him. He wasn't an atheist, by the way, Charles Darwin. But anyway, point is, when we see all these things happening within the world, we see creatures evolving and then becoming extinct. the natural thing, the natural assumption of the scientists was, well, this whole story of God coming down and taking clay and making in heaven a man in the stars and then bringing him down, all of that is fables, man. This is all granny's kitchen tales. What really happened was, you started off as a single cell, you eventually became a monkey, that monkey evolved into a smarter ape, and eventually that evolved into a man, because we can see the link between people and animals and primates. We can see the link between humans and other human-like creatures. So how does Islam reconcile that? And a simple answer is, we say that, number one, as Muslims, we believe overwhelmingly. We believe 100% that there is such a thing as natural selection, there is such a thing as mutation, there is a thing as evolution. And we believe that the natural process of evolution, Allah placed that process there. It's not external to Allah. The same way Allah has a process for rain to form, you know, the water gets evaporated and then it forms clouds and then it rains. We say the rain comes from Allah, but behind that there is a process, there's a mechanics behind it. And evolution is one of the natural processes which Allah created. And Allah says this in the Quran. Look at this ayah. Allah says, Wallah, Allah is the one that khalaqa kulla dabatin min ma, that He created all living creatures, all animals, from water. فَمِنْهُمْ of them man yamshi ala batnihi, that there are creatures who began or started, they crawl on the tummies. وَمِنْهُمْ man yamshi ala rijlain, and some of these creatures they will eventually walk on two legs. وَمِنْهُمْ man yamshi ala arba, and some walk on more than two, four, whatever. يَخْلُقُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ, Allah creates whatever He wills. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ, and He has power over all things. So we believe undoubtedly that there is such a thing as evolution. It is constantly at play in the universe, on all the living creatures. But as for Adam, Allah intervened. He took a manual step. The machine was running on autopilot almost. Obviously nothing runs on autopilot, but the process of evolution was running. And then Allah directly intervened and placed a new creature on the earth. And that will explain why things that people have, which no other creature has, the ability to communicate. Allah says, of the things He taught Adam was the ability to talk. There is no creature on earth that has the ability, they can communicate, yes, but the ability to have speech like we have, to have art, to have abstract thoughts, to have humor, love, these kind of things are unique to us. We don't see evolution reaching those kind of steps in any of the other creatures. We also believe, surprisingly, I mean, you might, as Muslims, that once Adam was created, evolution, the process of evolution, began to affect him. We have hadith that Adam or his progeny, they became shorter, their structure changed, their lifespan became shorter. So things like the appendix, it had a purpose 100,000 years, 200,000 years, now it doesn't have any purpose anymore. And so we see evolution actually impacting us. So we believe in evolution, but we don't believe in the evolution of man, that rather Adam was created external to the natural process, and then he was placed on the earth. And to really make this very easy, and Allah says this in the Quran many times, the likeness of Adam, the likeness of Isa is Adam. Adam, think of Jesus and Adam, they have a similar, when you want to think of them, think of the same. The natural process of birth is a father and a mother, you know, having sex, and then you have a baby. That's the natural process. But Jesus, He was born contrary to that process. Allah intervened directly. And so Jesus was born in the same way Adam was created, contrary to the normal processes. The Adhan for Maghrib is going. I need to conclude soon. Is there any questions before we conclude, inshallah? Any comments before we log off? Ubaid, any comments online? Shaheen, you have a comment?
Assalamu alaikum, Shaheen.
Assalam.
You know, when we talk about Adam, I don't even hear. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created.
Yes.
Like you said, mankind was born. I don't know how do distance in terms of Adam. The two of them, what was the off Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had when beings also played? Because after the two of them, children, and then they came about.
Mm.
That link that how the Indians spread out over humans also in this as Adam on the created power.
Okay, so the line is a bit bad. So, Shane, I think what I understand your question is, so we believe that Adam was created, and then we're going to talk about Eve, they had kids, but then were the other people, other creations, or did all of mankind almost get, progenated from them? And yes, we are all linked back to that, you know, that one set of parents. Is that your question, Shane?
Question that I had,
well,
are we all linked?
Yes.
Progeny,
yes, absolutely. And that's so important. I mean, we never think about this. You know, Allah could have created a tribe of parents, you know, 5-6 parents. And then, you know, they were born from that. But Allah wanted even Hawa, even Eve, to be created from Adam. So it means that every single one of us has one soul that we go back to. One soul that then divided into. And that almost tells you that we are shared in our humanity. No matter what our religion is, no matter what our beliefs are, our politics, our passports, we are united in our shared humanity. And that is something which Allah chose, that we will always have this bond, this bond between us. Shukran so much for your time, everyone. I hope you have a wonderful week, and may Allah grant you all the safety and security for you and your families. May Allah grant you to be in the state of Iman and wellness. I mean, shukran again. If you have any questions, you can email me, WhatsApp me. Shukran so much. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad wa alayhi wa sahbihi sallam wa sallim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.